Today's share is Masecht Menachos, Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Gimel Amin Aleph at the top of Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Haimah Rei Olai Machvas. If somebody says, I'm obligating myself to bring a Korban Mincha B'Machvas, as we know, a Machvas means a frying pan, but it means a flat frying pan. La Yavi B'Macheshes. He should not bring a Korban Mincha that's baked in a deep fryer. But for Acheshes and vice versa, if somebody says he's going to be bringing a Korban Mincha that's made in a deep frying pan, lo yavi b'machmas, so he shouldn't bring a Korban Mincha that's made in a flat frying pan. The reason, explained the Rishonim, that the Mishnah needed to teach us this din is because whereas when we speak about, for example, Michas Mafat Tanner, we learned and will learn that you could choose to bring Chalos or Rekikin. So we would think that here too, if you said Machvas and Macheshes, since they're both types of Korban Mincha that are fried, even if you said one type of frying pan, if you bring the other type of frying pan, it should be acceptable. That's why the Mishnah is teaching us that as far as this halacha is concerned, that is not the din. And if you said machvas, it has to be machvas. If you said macheshes, it has to be macheshes. Says the Mishnah, ma bein machvas and macheshes. How do we identify the difference between machvas and macheshes? Says the Mishnah, macheshes yesh lekisui. A macheshes is the type of frying pan that has a cover. Machvas and like you say, Machvas doesn't have a cover. Divrei Rav Yosef Glili, that's the way Rav Yosef Glili differentiates them. Machash muka, the machash is like we said, a deep fryer, maser roichshin, and because the dough that's put into it is put completely into the oil, and therefore while the dough is frying in the oil, if you put your finger on it, the dough will shake. Machvas etzofa, the machvas is flat, and therefore, whatever you put into such a type of a frying pan, the maser koshin, whatever you put in that type of frying pan, it's going to be hard and not in any way soft. So, I saw that the Mefarshim, in explaining this din, the quote, a famous sentence that we say in the Zmiris and Shabbos. Hashem is Shabbos Abeinim Abbas. Somebody Hashem is Shabbos, not only he, but his children, his sons, and his daughters. L'keli ratzu k'mincha machvas. He'll be accepted Karbish Baruch Hu like a mincha that's brought in a machvas. And of course, all the Mefarshim try to understand what is the connection here between a mincha that's brought in the machvas to being a Shem Shabbos. So I saw that the Pnei Menachem explains that we just learned the difference between a machvas and a macheshes is that what's fried in a machvas is a lot harder. And what we say on the Zmiris and Shabbos is that if we want our children to continue in our path, in doing what's right, and being Shomer Shabbos, we have to train them to bring a carbon like a carbon machvas. We have to be strong in our beliefs. A person who's strong in the beliefs and passes that on to their children will have children that not only he is a Shomer Shabbos, but his children will also be Shomer Shabbos. Begins the Gemara Matam de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that the difference, as we just learned, between a machvas and macheshes is if there's a cover to the keli. Says the Gemara, Ilay macheshes da'asya chushe leiv, that a mincha that's bought for somebody who had the wrong machshava, that's when you bring a cover in macheshes, kriksiv, as the pasuk says, that the word macheshes is appropriate about something that you're thinking about, because as the pasuk says, rochash libi dovetayv, so it's referring to what we think about at a half. A machvas and the machlus is brought to asya and machbuya peh on what somebody utters, speaks improperly, kadamri inshi, as people describe when somebody says something that he shouldn't be saying. It's like he's barking, similar to the word machvas. But says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand that these carbon miches, says the Gemara, we can make a counter argument. Machvas will say asya comes and machbuya leiv on what's on the heart, which is hard, which is hidden. And as the pasuk says, that the word machvas is appropriate regarding something hard. The asya machbuya leiv, something hidden, as the pasuk says, lama nechves levroyach. As when Yaakov Avinu ran away, the pasuk says that you hid as you ran away. And on the other hand, we can make an argument that marcheshes, when we speak about marcheshes, dasi archushe is actually speaking about what we say. Kedamri amchi havamrachshin svase. His mouth, his lips were moving. Ella, says the Gemara, the way Rabbi Yossi came to his understanding of the carbon mincha is Gemara Gemurale. It was based on a Messiah that he had from his rebbe's. So the Gemara says that the word rochash could be connected to archushik machrash and svasei. So many svarim explain that the reason that the month of Cheshvan is called Mar Cheshvan, because Mar Cheshvan is very similar to the word Amirachshin. And what happens in Cheshvan? Cheshvan is the month that comes after Elul and Tishrei, which we spent those months davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Marchoshin Svusei means that our lips are still moving. The lips that we became accustomed constantly moving our lips in Tfilis and Bakoshes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to the month of Mar Cheshvan, we just continue that became so accustomed to us that's something that we all continue. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, he says, Marchesh, as he explained, is a mukum, it's something that's a deep fryer, machvas is flat. Ask the Gemara, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about macheshes, amuka, the ksival nasa b'macheshes. So it seems that it was put deep into the frying pot. On the other hand, machves, something that's fried in a frying pan, it's sofer, the ksiv al machves. It's not in, because it's not in, it's just frying on the top. In fact, I saw that according to the Rambam, when we speak about a machvas, not only is a machvas a frying pan, but he said it's not even really a frying pan. The Rambam's opinion is that it's like a griddle that doesn't have just flat piece of metal that you put something on to fry. That is the way that it's not, doesn't look like a pot anyway. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. B'shamay says, I'm harei le'marcheshes. So here we have a dilemma. When somebody says, harei alai marcheshes, the question is, what did he mean? Did he mean to bring a milchus marcheshes? Or did he mean to bring a marcheshes? Did he mean to bring a frying pan? So since we don't know what he meant, the halacha is, yemunach, the money that he set aside should be kept to the side until Eliyahu Navi comes and tells us what is the halacha when we say that. Because Mesapkle, as we just explained, Beis Shammai actually has a question. Is this referring to the keli? When we say Marcheshes, we're speaking about the way this carbon milk is prepared. Beis Hillel say there's no question. There was a vessel in the Beis Hamikdash which was called the Marcheshes. The Daima Kamin Kalbus Omuk. So the way the Rishonim explain it, it was like a U-shaped frying pan. And not only that, but there were molds in the frying pan so that when you poured something into that frying pan, the food that you've poured in would get the form, the mold of that mold, of that round mold. So when you took it out, it was round because it got fried in that mold. It looks like different types of round things that form that shape because they were in the round mold. Weimer and Beis Hillel bring another raya. The pasuk says, so we see that when the Torah speaks about Cheshes, it says, Bimar Cheshes. When it speaks about Machvas, it says, Al. Al Shilma Kalim Nikru. When you use these words, you're referring to the vessel, not the type of food that is comes out from those vessels. And then for according to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel is clear that when you make this type of a statement, you are bringing the keli. Somebody says, Arei Le Batana. If somebody says he's going to bring a mincha that's baked in a tanner, Lo Yovim Maf B'Kupach. A kupach, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, is a small tanner that only has the place to put into it a one pot. V'loy mafer ofim, you shouldn't bring something that you cook on hot tiles. That's one. The Rishonim point out, based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that just like we just said regarding the kupach, that there's only room for one pot, in the tanner is also only room for one pot. However, the heat in the tanner is hotter than it is in a kupach, because a tanner is wider on the bottom and narrow on the top, and therefore there's no way for the heat to escape, and that's why it's hotter. The kupach is straight walls, and therefore the heat spreads all over. What does it mean to cook on reifim? That means you have this tile, and the tile is heated, the tile is very hot, and when you put the food on the tile, because of the heat of the tile, the food gets cooked. Furthermore, it also doesn't mean cooked in these type of pots that the Arabs used to use. When you say Michas Mafa, he says you could bring something that was cooked in a kupach. Furthermore, Harele Machas Mafa, if somebody says he's going to bring a Mafa, that the halacha is, that Macha is, you have to bring 10 chalas, but as the halacha tells us, and we've learned this halacha, you bring an asarn flour, and from that asarn flour, you make 10 chalas. The halacha is, lo yavi mechza chalas and mechza rekikin. You can have a choice, according to Tanakama. You could bring 10 chalas, or you could bring 10 rekikin. And therefore, the Tanakama teaches us, you can't bring half and half, half chalas, a half rekikin. You have a choice. You could either bring completely chalas or completely rekikin. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, says they don't have to all be of the same type. Both of these types of baked food are accepted for Michas Mafa, and therefore you could bring a combination. Even though, says the Michas Chinuch, that our Mishnah speaks about 5 and 5, the halacha, according to Shimon, is that any combination is acceptable. As long as you bring 10, you could bring any combination of chalas and rekikin. Another nafkamina, the Michas Chinuch says, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if somebody said that he's going to bring a mincha of chalas, could he bring rekikin or not? According to Rabbi Shimon, says the Michas Chinuch, he may. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, if you say chalas, it must be chalas. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan in explaining what we just learned in our Mishnah Tanur Rabbanan, Mafatana. From here we learn V'loi Mafa Kupach, as we learned in the Mishnah, V'loi Mafer Rofim, V'loi Mafer Yar Saravayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Torah says, Taner, Shnei Pomim. The Torah used the word Taner twice. Lahachshir Af Kupach. On the contrary, he says that the Torah is telling us that a Kupach is acceptable. Rav Shimon Omer, Taner Shnei Pomim. What does that come to see? Ech Shtei Afyosin B'Taner. One, it's come to teach us that the Korban Milcha has to be baked specifically in a Taner, no other way. And another in Sheik Deshi B'Taner. And the second time the Torah tells us the word Taner, it's coming to teach us what point does the Milcha get the Kedushas Mincha when it's put in the Taner. Because the Taner was a Klisharis, and a halacha that we learned many times is that a Klisharis is what is Mekadosh, what you put into it. Ask the Gemara Mesler of Shimon HaSvara, is that indeed the opinion of Shimon, that when you put something in the Taner, that's when it gets the Kedusha? Ask the Taner of Shimon Oimer, Loilam Havarag Loimer, Shtei Alochem, V'lechem Aponim K'sheres Be'ezra, U'K'sheres Be'ez Pagi, that the place where you could bring the bake the Shtei Alochem and the Lechem Aponim is either in the Ezra or anywhere, even as far as Be'ez Pagi, which was an area outside of the Ezra. So we clearly see from here that it is the opinion of Shimon that it is not the Taner that's Mekadosh the Menachas. Because if the Taner, the oven in which you bake it is Mekadosh it, so then if you bake it and then you take it to base Pagai, you're taking it Chutz Lazara. And anything that got Kedusha may not be taken at that point Chutz Lazara. Amar Rava says the Gemara that indeed what is meant here to teach us is Sheik Deshon Shem Taner, that when we're Magdish the Ksoilus, we should have a mind that we want to use it to ultimately use it that we want to put it into a Taner. And most Rishonim, Rashi, very consistent, what Rashi been teaching us a number of times in these Masechtis, is that it should be explicitly said, and that's what the Gemara is saying, that I should speak out that that's my goal. Although I did see that the Ravid says that what the Gemara means to say is that if somebody said, very consistent to what we're learning in our Shia today, that if somebody said that he wants to bring it as a challah, as a machvas mincha, and then he says that he's going to bring, and then he ends up bringing in a tanner, it's going to be disqualified. So as we learned, Rashi explains that if the tanner is what is mekadoshit, then as soon as we take it out of the azara, it'll become anything that's put into klisharis, and then it's taken out of the azara becomes as apostle. Tosfos learns that the halacha is that it's not a question of being kosher or not kosher. If the tanner, if you're supposed to break it in a tanner, then of course the tanner should be in the azara. Rav Shimon Akiva Eiger has a different explanation. He says that the halach is the lechem upon the mishtei lechem to be baked even on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? So now explains Rav Akiva Eiger. If we say that the tanner is mekadoshet, so once you put it into the tanner, it becomes kadosh. And anything that becomes kodesh, as we've learned numerous times, can have a psolina. Because it can have a psolina, we can't bake it the day before, because we're going to bake it the day before, it's going to become pasul. But if we learn that the tanner is not mekadeshit, so then, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why would we have this concern? Just bake it when we can. It must be that the Torah is teaching us that it's the Taner's Mekadoshet, and if the Taner's Mekadoshet, we can't bake it any earlier, because then it will become, unfortunately, possible. Harele Machvis, we learned in the Mishnah, Harele Michas Mafa, Layovi Mechza, we learned the Machalikas of Yehuda of Shimon in the Mishnah, if you have to bring it all Chalas, all Rikikin, or you could have a combination. Says the Maratana Rabbanan, the Pasuk, when it speaks about the carbon michas mafatana, says the key sakrif carbon michas mafatana. We learned to the kishtak vlasas dover ashus. When you want to make a carbon milcha, this is the carbon milcha that you should bring. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, which we said now is the standard carbon mincha. Says the Gemara, how do you know if that was said? You shouldn't bring a combination. Tamaloyma, the pasuk says, the key sack of carbon mincha, carbon echonamatilcha. I told you to bring one type of carbon, veloy shnayim, the shloisha kabanas, not a combination. Amalei of Shimon. So Shimon says to Yehuda, v'chinem a carbon shnei pamim, one to reflect chalas, and one to rekikun. V'leilei nemar, says Rav Shimon to Yehuda, the Torah says the word carbon only once, and therefore, nemaboy, chalas rekikun. And what does the Torah mean by doing so? Suggests Rav Shimon, mat the rotzel of chalas maybe. If you want to bring all chalas, you want to bring some all chalas, you may. We want to bring all rekikun. That's also acceptable. Mechza chalas and mechza rekikun, a combination maybe. Kailan, what you should do is, after you bake them in whatever fashion you choose to bake them, you then crumble them, the kamitz mishneim, and you take a kamitza from that combination. If all of what you picked up for a kamitza is from just one of them, the halacha still will be yotza, that the yotza. Says the Brisker Rav, that the way the shemen is put into the chalas and the way the shemen that is put into rekikin is very different. In the chalas, the shemen are mixed with the oil. In the rekikin, as we've been speaking, the rekikin are smeared with oil. So how could they be combined? Says the Brisker Rav, what we learn from here is, as long as there's oil, it doesn't make a difference how the oil is put on. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hudaimer, Nailoi Marele Michas Mafa, says Rabbi Yossi, how do we know that if somebody says they're going to bring a Michas Mafa, Shloyovi Mechzachalas Mechzachikin, you shouldn't bring a combination. Tamaloima, Vachal Mincha Chetofa Vatanar, Vachal Nasa Vamacheshis, Vachal Machvis, Lakoina Machvisoi, Loi Sia, Vachal Mincha Balul Bashem Vachareva, Vachal Bnei Aaron Tia, Ishkiachav. Says the Mamai V'kol Amalamata. Just as the Pasuk says the word V'kol, when it speaks about the carbon Michas Machvas Omar Cheshis, or by regarding the carbon that has Micha that has Shemen, and the carbon Micha which is Chareva has no Shemen, it's not coming to combine them, that you could bring partial this and partial there. These are all Shnei Minim Chalukim, as we've been learning in our Shia today, they're considered very different type of kabbonis. And therefore, if you're supposed to bring a carbon mincha machvas, you can't bring any macheshes. And so too, vice versa. And the same goes regarding chareva and belula. You're supposed to be chareva. They have to all be chareva. You're supposed to bring belula. They're supposed to all bring belula. So too, when we speak about the chalas and rekikin, the kala amalamala, when the Torah uses the word the kala at the beginning, it's shnei minim chalukim haim. They're two separate karbonas, not to be confused. Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara, Shata kam Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon makes a very good argument to show that they're all one type. Amalach responds, Rabbi Yehuda, kim diksib shemen b'shemen. Since the Torah says the word shemen twice, command diksib, even though the Torah did not speak about carbon twice, it's considered like it is mentioned, each one is a separate type of carbon. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon, why does he say that pshat? Says the Gemara, eat like sibishemen bishemen, have a minute afka mach, sachas and mach, sachis. Avachas chudayu, rakikal chudayu emaloi. Maybe the Torah specifically suggest the Gemara wants a combination. Kamash Malon, that's why the Pasuk says, B'shemen B'shemen, to teach us you could have a combination, but you could have each one separately. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Hainavu,
asked him, Rabbi Yossi is agreeing with his father, Rabbi Yehuda, and most of them are of the opinion that you can't bring half chalas and half rakikin. What is the practical nafkamina between their opinions? And says, the Mari Kamenai de Yevid, what happens if you brought a combination? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that he says one, the fact that it says one carbon, the Yevid, it's acceptable. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that learns it from Minchas Belul of Chareva, just like there's no room in Halacha for deviation. Here too, there would be no room in Halacha for deviation. We've been learning in our Shia today about the type of Chalas, the Bachalas that are brought as the Minchas Mafa. And a portion question is, how do those Chalas look? And many Mefarshim I saw it goes back to Evan Ezra that says that the chalas that were used were round and not square. And therefore, that's why he explains that the matzahs that we make for Pesach should be round. The Steichem, it says, he says that the round shape is something that is most beloved by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The entire world is round. Therefore, just like we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world round, so too should the Bichalas should be round. Another, so the Shailas HaTshuvas Mari Osed goes into an explanation why indeed the matzah should be round. One explanation, it says that the Torah, when it describes the matzahs, says Ugois matzahs, and Ugois means round. Another explanation is that we know the matzah is called Lechem Oini, the poor person's bread, and being wealthy and then being poor and back and forth, that cycle is a galgal achoizer. Galgal is round, the world goes back and forth. Another explanation is that the first day of Pesach is always the same day as Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, we know by the Sudas of Mavsekis, we eat egg, which is round. Another pshat is the Mitzrim specifically ate food that had many corners to show that there are many different gods that they worship. We believe only in one Shem, and a round thing doesn't have a beginning and an end. And therefore, it's much more appropriate to show our belief in the one Hashem through round matzahs. There's another reason to use round matzahs and not square matzahs, because if you're baking square matzahs and you're going to, then why the machine matzahs, are square? Because if you're going to take the machine matzah, there's no machine matzah that is easily baked round. And they were scared that if you're going to cut off the corners, you're going to come to reuse that dough, which you're not allowed to do. And that's why the minig is that the machine matzahs are round. And that's why, as I said, the minhag is to bake round matzahs, and it's also appropriate to bake round challahs for Shabbos. However, I also saw that there are those that have no problem with square matzahs. We see that a square is also a shape that Hashem likes. The mizbeich, both the mizbeich apnimi and the mizbeich achitzin, were square. We know that the tefillin has to be, how careful we learned these halachas in our Masechta, actually, how the halacha is so strict that the tefillin have to be square. All of these are very much indication that there's nothing wrong with something being square. Hanrolach kol menachas, hanrolach kol menachas, hanrolach kol menachas. Be'ezer Hashem is Baruch, we have the schus to begin the next parak of our Masechta. The next parak of Masechta, as we're going to see, is very focused on the mitzvah of Tziras Haimer and Sfiras Haimer. Actually, there's a difference of opinion where this perek belongs. Many have this perek as the 10th perek of the Masechta, because only then, after the Masechta has finished discussing the halachas of the menachas, then we go over to the halacha of the Haimer. In our Masechta, as we learned, we're following the Seder that it belongs here as the sixth perek, and there are many that suggest the reason it's put here is because in the previous perek, the Mishnah referenced Omer many times. There were many halachas that we learned that affect the halacha of the Omer, so therefore this is a continuation of that discussion. The halacha is, the Torah tells us, that on the second day of Pesach, Tez Zayin Sivan, they brought the carbon Omer. That means on the night of the second day of Pesach, they would cut the new grain, and then they would bring a carbon the next day from that Omer, from that grain. And that grain was, after that carbon was brought, they were allowed to eat the Chadash. We know that anything that takes root not before 3 days before Pesach, is considered Chadosh and may not be eaten until the next year, the time when we bring the carbon Omer. So therefore, this carbon Omer was brought that from now on that it could eat the Chadosh. As we said, the Sairim, the grain, was cut on the second night of Pesach. And this was a very big issue, as we're going to learn in our perek. Because the Torah, when it speaks about the time to cut the Omer, the Torah says, "B'machras haShabbos." The Omer was cut b'machras haShabbos. B'machras haShabbos yinefen haKoyin. And there was a very big dispute in Klal Yisrael. What is the definition of b'machras haShabbos? We say b'machras haShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach, b'machras haShabbos. Like we've been saying, on the second day of Pesach. But there were others that explained that B'machras Shabbos means the day after Shabbos. And according to them, the Omer was always, that was the opinion of the Tzedakim, and according to them, the Omer was always brought on a Sunday, and had obviously many serious halachic ramifications. And not only did it have obviously many serious halachic ramifications, but even if we think about it a little more, it became a big point of contention. It became a very big point of contention in Klal Yisrael. When is the proper time to bring it, and when the Yontif should be celebrated? So they used to do things in the bringing of the Omer to show that we don't agree with the Tzedakim. Begins the Mishnah, Rishmal Omer. So now the question that comes up, even though in our calendar, the second day of Pesach can never be on a Shabbos, but we know in their calendar, which they were made the months through Riyah, when they determined when it's the new month, so there, the second day of Pesach could be Shabbos. So the second day of Pesach is Shabbos, so now, that night, when they have to go Friday night, cut the Omer, the question that comes up, is it allowed to be cut in Shabbos? If it's allowed to be cut in Shabbos, what does it mean when we say that it's cut in Shabbos? Says the Mishnah, Rishmal Omer Ibab Shabbos, if they cut the Omer, if the second day of Pesach is on Shabbos, it came from Shlosh Soim, they used three Soim of Soirim, that's the amount of barley that they cut, that they should be able to get out of that barley, a sorin of excellent grain and flour. B'chol, but if it's not Shabbos, the second day of Pesach, so they weren't limited because of Hilcha Shabbos, says the Gemara, B'chomish, they brought from five soim of sorin. B'chomam echad Shabbos v'chol, it makes a difference if it was Shabbos or weekday. They always used the same amount, Mishalosh Hayabah, and they always brought the same amount. So we see from here, all the Mepharshim point out, that even though, as we're learning, that even though the second day of Pesach is on Shabbos, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but from here we learn, and it's going to be a very big part of our Shiurim, that whenever we could do less Chil Shabbos, that's what we should do. And here, we have the opportunity to do less Chil Shabbos, according to him, by cutting three instead of five. That's what we're allowed to do. Of course, the question that many Paiskim ask in learning the Mishnah that the halacha is, as we learned many times, we're learning say the Kachim, and as we're learning say the Kachim, we many times discuss that we're allowed to bring kabbanis and do whatever we have to do on Shabbos. So why over here are we beginning to say that that is not permitted? So Mefarshim say there's a fundamental difference when we're bringing a carbon. There we are allowed to do whatever we have to do. The Savart from the Migdish Tovid. What we're discussing here is not the actual carbon. We're speaking about the Machshirei carbon. The Machshirei carbon is different, that it's only what's preparation for the carbon. There we have to limit our Chil Shabbos as much as possible. The question that I saw, however, the Achroinim asked, so, as we said, in our calendar, this entire question can never come up, because the second day Pesach is never on a Shabbos. So it'll come out on Chol HaMoed. And we know the halacha is that you're allowed to, that you have to limit Melach on Chol HaMoed. So why are we only concerned by Shabbos? Why are we not concerned for Chol HaMoed? To which the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov answers that the halacha of Melacha on the halacha of the Omer on Pesach is a din as part of the avoid on carbon Pesach. So nobody would suggest that in Chol HaMoed you can't do what the Pesach requires. Shabbos is a new question. And therefore, even if it's Chol HaMoed, the halacha is that we're allowed to bring whatever we have to do. Whether it's Shabbos or weekday, Mishalosh Hayiba, they brought Shalosh Soyim. Chaninah Sagana Kanem Omer, B'Shabbos Hayab Niktsa B'Yachid, if it was brought, if the carbon was brought on Shabbos, then it was cut just by one individual, or B'Magal Echad, and they used only one sickle to cut it, or Kupachas, and all of the Omer that was collected was put in to one basket, again, all to limit the Chil Shabbos. B'chol, but when we did it during the week, it was specifically done B'shloisha, we had three people doing it, B'sholosh Kupis, we had it put in to three baskets, B'sholosh Magnus with three sickles. B'chamayimrim, and the reason they did that is specifically to show that they want to disagree with the by tzedakim, because as we said in the introductory remarks to our shir, the tzedakim said you always did it on Sunday. We wanted to show that that's not what we hold, and therefore they did it with much fanfare. It doesn't make a difference if it's Shabbos or weekday. We always do it b'sholosh, three people, sholosh kupis, sholosh margolos. Again, their thinking was, we want to make the point that we are doing it when we believe it's the right time to do it. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, says the Gemara, the Rabbanon who hold, whether it's during Shabbos or when it's during the week, the halacha is that we do it the same way. Kusavri, Isaron Mufchar, that if you want to have a good quality Isaron, B'shloshim son osi. It comes from three son. And therefore, v'loshna b'chol v'loshna b'shabbos, it makes no difference whether it's the week or Shabbos. We want to have high quality sayrim, and that's the way we're going to get it. But ask the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel by Kesover. Ikesover yisorim mufchol yosi. If his opinion is that you can't get a good yisorim el mechamish, so then I feel b'shabbos nami. Even on Shabbos, that's what you ought to use. If you could get it from Sholosh, so then I feel b'chol, why do we need to use five? Three should be enough even during the week. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Kusav Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel's opinion actually is Asar Mufch B'loy Tercha Asim Chamish. You could get a good amount of Yisaron, a flour, without a big Tercha from five. But Tercha, if you want to work on it, asim shalosh, then you can get out of three. So it explains the Gemara. Bechol, during the week, my sinin michamish, dachashvicha milsa. That's the easy, good way to get what you need. However, b'Shabbos, and as we're learning in our shir, we're trying to avoid chil Shabbos as best as possible. So therefore, Motiv Shiyab of Melacha Akas Bar Kodom, we will do a better job of sifting with the flour that we, with the grain that we have, not to do all the other things that we'll have to cut more and winnow more and do more melachas. One melacha will have to do more, and we always want to do less. We always want to avoid, as we've been learning, chil Shabbos as much as possible. And therefore, yes, we have to get an Isorin Meshubach, but we want to get a Isorin Meshubach with the least amount of chil Shabbos involved.